It's February, supposedly Valentine's month. So I thought I would focus on some love poetry today, poetry that was new to me. It's very popular around the world, the poetry of Rumi. I found out that he was in love not with someone else, but with God. So it's love poetry writ large. So I invite you to join with me on a voyage of discovery today. I'll speak a little bit about him, but the message will come mostly through his words, Rumi's poetry. Jalaluddin Balkhi, whom we know as Rumi, was born in 1207 in what is now Afghanistan. It was part of the Persian Empire then. But there were threats of the Mongol armies of Genghis Khan, and so his family moved west to Konya, Turkey. With his father, he was part of a dervish learning community there. When his father died, when Rumi was about 28, Jalaluddin assumed the leadership role of the community. So Rumi would be a contemporary, almost, of St. Francis of Assisi, and he visited other people, Jews and Christians alike. Sufism is a mystical branch of Islam, distinct from either the Sunnis or the Shiites. The Sufis started as a group of purists protesting the worldliness they saw overtaking Islam. So they wore wool instead of the silk and satin of the sultans and caliphs. And so comes the word Suf for wool. The Sufis wanted to purify and spiritualize Islam from within, and they wanted to seek an inner mystical core. Like Christian mystics, they had methods of approaching this knowledge. They gathered around spiritual masters and formed, after the 12th century, orders. While they called themselves Fakir, those poor in spirit, they were really a spiritual elite. These folks generally married, and they were not cloistered. They engaged in normal occupations, but they gathered to sing, to dance, pray, recite their rosaries in concert, and listen to their masters' discourses. Simply put, they sought direct experience with God. An analogy was used to explain. If someone wants to know about fire, they can learn by degrees, and I don't think the pun was intended. First by hearing about it, then by seeing fire, and finally by being burned by its heat. Sufis wanted to be burned by God. They had three routes to God: the mysticism of love, that of ecstasy, and that of intuition. Intuitive discernment is a mental knowledge, discernment through an organ they called the eye of the heart. It is a different sort of knowledge. Objects are clothed in a celestial light. The world's objects are garments that God dons to create a world. To the eye of the heart, the world is God in disguise or God veiled. Ecstatic mysticism depends on an altered state of consciousness, something like a trance. They lose attention for who they are and where they are in the real world. Of course, they do eventually have to come back to the real world. The mysticism of love began with an 8th-century woman saint who discovered in her all-night vigils that God's love is the core of the universe. These followers believe that steeping oneself in that love and reflecting it to others is living life's supreme beatitude. Persian poets often dwell on the pangs of separation to deepen their love of God, and in so doing, draw close to God. This is what Rumi's poetry is. Think back to the poem we heard during the meditation, the reed yearning for its reed bed. This metaphor is a favorite with Rumi. Listen to the story told by the reed of being separated. Since I was cut from the reed bed, I have made this crying sound. Anyone apart from someone they love understands what I say. The reed is nostalgic for union with God, its source. Unfortunately, the reed cannot make the music until it is separate from its source, the reed bed. Only once it is cut can it have holes drilled into it and be played. Rumi's father was a jurist, theologian, and mystic. And he was a teacher. He had a group around him. Rumi studied, though, not with his father, who died when Rumi was in his 20s, but with a student of his father's who initiated him into his father's secret life. Rumi's life was apparently a normal one for a religious scholar until he met a stranger with a question. This fellow was called Shams of Tabriz, and he was a 60-year-old wanderer searching for someone who could tolerate his company. Shami and Rumi were infatuated with each other, not in sexual terms, but as spiritual friends. They went off to a retreat place for months at a time in endless conversation. Rumi's students weren't so happy. They were jealous. And so Shams took himself off to Damascus for a while. And after a bit, Rumi sent his son to Syria to persuade him to return. Again, the intense conversations between them shut out Rumi's students. And again, they were jealous. This time, they had him killed. In his grief, Rumi circled a pole in his garden, one hand on the pole, all the while speaking poetry, which has come to be known as the most intimate record we have of the search for divine companionship. His turning around that pole is the start of the moving meditations of the dervishes. The movement, begun in grief, has turned into a dance of celebration, a dance in celebration of life. Coleman Barks is a popular translator of Rumi, and he, to get there where he was, studied with a Sufi teacher. Barks says that Rumi is, quote, trying to get us to feel the vastness of our true identity, like the sense you might get walking into a cathedral, what Jesus referred to when he said, the kingdom of God is within you. I have another poem. It's called The Freshness. When it's cold and raining, you are more beautiful, and the snow brings me even closer to your lips. The inner secret, that which was never born, you are that freshness, and I am with you now. I can't explain the goings or the comings. You enter suddenly, and I am nowhere again. Inside the majesty. I'll repeat it. When it's cold and raining, you are more beautiful, and the snow brings me even closer to your lips. The inner secret, that which was never born, you are that freshness, and I am with you now. I can't explain the goings or the comings. You enter suddenly, and I am nowhere again, inside the majesty. Rumi did find two successive companions to whom he addressed his poems and with whom he continued his intense conversations. He was also married and presumably had children. Contrary to much of Islam, which eschews music, the Sufis delight in it, and Rumi wrote poetry about it. And in Beacon, where we love music so much, I thought I would read something he wrote about music. In this Sufi way, song is story, is poetry, is prayer. It's called Where Everything is Music. Don't worry about saving these songs. And if one of our instruments breaks, it doesn't matter. We have fallen into the place where everything is music. The strumming and the flute notes rise into the atmosphere. And even if the world's harp should burn up, there will be still hidden instruments playing. So the candle flickers and goes out. We have a piece of flint and a spark. This singing art is sea foam. The graceful movements come from a pearl somewhere on the ocean floor. Poems reach up like spindrift and the edge of driftwood along the beach, wanting. They derive from a slow and powerful root that we can't see. Stop the words now. Open the window in the center of your chest and let the spirits fly in and out. I'll repeat it. Where everything is music. Don't worry about saving these songs. And if one of our instruments breaks, it doesn't matter. We have fallen into the place where everything is music. The strumming and the flute notes rise into the atmosphere. And even if the whole world's harp should burn up, there will still be hidden instruments playing. So the candle flickers and goes out. We have a piece of flint and a spark. This singing art is sea foam. The graceful movements come from a pearl somewhere on the ocean floor. Poems reach up like spindrift and the edge of driftwood along the beach, wanting. They derive from a slow and powerful root that we can't see. Stop the words now. Open the window in the center of your chest and let the spirits fly in and out. In some poems, it's hard to tell whether he's referring to human love or to love of the divine. It's a very short one. The minute I heard my first love story, I started looking for you, not knowing how blind that was. Lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along. They're in each other all along. And another very short one, another love poem. With the beloved's water of life, no illness remains. In the beloved's rose garden of union, no thorn remains. They say there is a window from one heart to another. How can there be a window where no wall remains? Other times it's easier to know that Rumi refers to knowing God. I have one more longer poem. It's called Story Water. A story is like water that you heat for your bath. It takes messages between the fire and your skin. It lets them meet, and it cleans you. Very few can sit down in the middle of the fire itself, like a salamander or Abraham. We need intermediaries. A feeling of fullness comes, but it usually takes some bread to bring it. Beauty surrounds us. But usually we need to be walking in a garden to know it. The body itself is a screen to shield and partially reveal the light that's blazing inside your presence. Water, stories, the body, all the things we do are mediums that hide and show what's hidden. Study them. And enjoy this being washed with a secret we sometimes know, and then not. Story water. A story is like water that you heat for your bath. It takes messages between the fire and your skin. It lets them meet, and it cleans you. Very few can sit down in the middle of the fire itself like a salamander or Abraham. We need intermediaries. A feeling of fullness comes, but it usually takes some bread to bring it. Beauty surrounds us, but usually we need to be walking in a garden to know it. The body itself is a screen to shield and partially reveal the light that's blazing inside your presence. Water, stories, the body, All the things we do are mediums that hide and show what's hidden. Study them and enjoy this being washed with a secret we sometimes know and then not. I quote Barks again. He says, Rumi was without boundaries. He would say that love is the religion and the universe is the book, that experience as we're living it is the sacred text that we study. So that puts us all in the same God club. Rumi is apparently the most read poet in North America today. I think he reflects the yearning we all have for connection with something beyond ourselves, whether divine or human. We all yearn for his message of love and connection. Rumi's words offer an all-encompassing spirituality relevant to our times, being present in the moment, finding the holiness in laughter. Amen.